chapter 3, and I'm going to read just two verses, verse 19 and 20, Acts 3, 19 and 20, and talk about seven things that God wants to do for us in 2010. Acts 3 and verse 19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Come into this place. Holy Spirit, come fill our lives. Holy Spirit, come fill our homes. Holy Spirit, come fill your church to overflowing. Come speak living words to us now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Beloved, I want to tell you that I believe at the start of 2010, I believe that God wants to draw near to us with a visitation of his presence and his anointing, and he wants to bring us a season of refreshing. I believe this is an appointed time for revival. I believe this is an appointed time for renewal, for restoration, and I believe that God wants to do seven things among us this year. And there's a sense of anticipation and expectation in my heart, and a sense of urgency that these things that God wants to do, he doesn't want to do at the end of the year. He doesn't want to do in the middle of the year. I believe God wants to do them at the beginning of the year. I believe God wants to come and meet us and visit us right now, today, at the start of this new year. And I believe that the key to releasing these seven things that God wants to do is already in our hand. All we have to do is turn it together. There are two vital things that Peter tells us in Acts 3:19. The first vital thing that Peter tells us in Acts 3:19 is that there is a season of refreshing that has been appointed for the people of God. There is a season of refreshing that God wants to release. He wants to give to his people. And the second vital thing that he tells us in Acts 3:19 is how it is that we receive it. So I want to talk first, what is this season of refreshing? What does it mean when it says a season of refreshing will come to you from the presence of the Lord? What kind of things happen during a season of refreshing? I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes with you. Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3 are linked to a prophecy in the book of Joel about a season of refreshing that God promised would come with Messiah, a season of refreshing that would come with Jesus Christ. I want to read just a few of those verses from Joel chapter 2 and listen to the description of the season of refreshing that God said he had appointed to send to his people. Joel chapter 2, it says, "Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both former and latter rains as before. Your threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you're full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. Then you will know that I'm in Israel, I'm the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be ashamed. And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." As I look at these words in Joel chapter 2 that describe this season of refreshing that Jesus was appointed to bring to his people, I find seven refreshing things God wants to do for us in 2010, and I want to share them quickly. Seven refreshing things. First of all, I believe that God wants to come early in this new year, and I believe that he wants to refresh us personally. I believe he wants to refresh us personally. Israel had become dried up. Israel had become dried up spiritually, and then they had become dried up physically. And the promise of the Lord to them here in Joel 2 is the promise of refreshing. I will send to you abundant showers, both former and latter rains as before. At the start of 2010, some of us know what it feels like to be dried up. Some of us knows what it feels like to have the stuffing beaten out of us in 2009. But God wants to come early in this new year, and he wants to refresh our spirits. He wants to come and refresh our enthusiasm for the things of God. He wants to come and visit us so that prayer becomes exciting again as we experience his presence when we pray. He wants to come and refresh us so that his word is exciting again, so that worship is exciting again, so that fellowship, that service is exciting again. He wants to come and refresh our joy. How many of you could use a little joy to start out this new year? He wants to come and renew our enthusiasm for life, to refresh our spirits. He wants to come early in this new year and refresh our faith. Some of us are really struggling right now at the start of the new year. 2009 was so tough. It might be a struggle to hang on to faith that God's promises are going to come to pass. But God wants to come with a refreshing wave of his presence that renews hope and faith inside of us. He wants to refresh our minds and our emotions. God wants to take away mental weariness. He wants to take away confusion. He wants to take stress away. He wants to come. Some of us have been struggling with anger, and God wants to come and refresh us in our emotions and take that anger away. He wants to refresh our creativity. He wants to give us new thoughts, new ideas, new vision for this new year. He wants to refresh us in our mind and emotions. And I believe that God even wants to come in this new year, and he wants to refresh our bodies. You know, if you've been struggling with weariness in your physical body, I believe God wants to come and visit us and bring a refreshing of his grace. Do you know, the Bible says that even the Lord, his refreshing even comes and affects us at the level of our physical man. The young lions may grow weary, the young bucks may get a little weak, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I believe God wants to come and visit us, and he wants to refresh each one of us personally. Second thing that I believe God wants to do in 2010, I believe God wants to visit us, and he wants to replenish our provision. He wants to replenish our provision. Israel was in the middle of an economic crisis. Their income had been cut. Their assets had been eaten up. Their provision had been devoured. But the promise of God's refreshing comes to them. He says, your threshing floors will be filled with grain again. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. God says, I know you've been wiped out. I know you've been devastated. I know your provision has taken a hit, but I am coming to refresh you, and I am coming to replenish your provision again. Beloved, listen to me. I want you to receive the word of the Lord as it relates to your finances. Do you know, in November of 2008, we as a congregation, we pledged $5.5 million towards the construction of our phase two sanctuary. And since that time, only a little over $500,000 of that money has come in. That means there's $5 million that's yet to come in. And the reason it hasn't come is not because people's hearts are not there to give. It's because the money simply isn't there. It's because we've been struggling in the area of provision. But you know what? When we made those pledges, I was praying the week that we made those pledges, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and this is what he said about those faith pledges. He said, Glenn, those pledges are an open door of invitation for me to show up and to bless the socks off of my people. And beloved, I want you to receive the word of the Lord. God is coming to visit us with his presence and his anointing, and he's coming to make good on his word, and he's coming to bless your socks off and to replenish your provision. He's not coming to do it at the end of 2010. He's not coming to do it in the middle of 2010. He is coming to do it in the beginning of 2010. I want you to receive the word of the Lord. What does God want to do for us in 2010? Number three, he wants to repeal judgment and restore losses. He wants to repeal judgment and restore losses. Israel had blown it. They had blown off God. They had been stupid and they sinned, and because of it, they were reaping the consequences of their foolishness and disobedience. But the promise of God's refreshing comes in Jesus, and he says, in Jesus, here's what I'm going to do for you. In Jesus, I'm going to repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. The great locust, the young locust, the swarm, my great army that I sent among you. In other words, those locusts that had come and had eaten everything up, those locusts had come as a consequence of their disobedience to the Lord. But the promise of refreshing is this. God says, I'm going to change my mind now about your situation. I'm not only going to stop the losses, I'm not only going to stop the damage that you've been experiencing, but I'm going to reverse that damage and I'm going to restore completely in full what was lost. Acts 3:19 and 20 is one of the most awesome promises in the Bible. The promise of Acts 3:19 and 20 is this. The promise is, it's not too late. It's not too late. If you have blown God off in the past, it's not too late to reach out for him now. If you've blown it, if you've made mistakes, if you've been disobedient, it's not too late to reach out and receive his refreshing now. Peter was talking to a group of people here in Acts 3. He had just healed a lame man that was at the gate of the temple, and a big crowd of Jewish worshipers gathered around him. And so the people he was talking to here in Acts 3 was a group of people who had blown it big time. God had become flesh and dwelt among them in the person of Jesus Christ, and they had blown him off. Not only had they blown him off, they had participated in finishing him off. But the promise Peter gives here is, it's not too late. You blew it. You blew him off. But it's not too late to receive him now. It's not too late to reach out for his refreshing now. It's not too late. Beloved, God wants to give a word for somebody in this house on this first Sunday of 2010. It is not too late for you. It's not too late to reach out for him now. If you've blown him off in the past, it's not too late now. If you've blown it and made mistakes, it's not too late to reach out for him now. It's not too late, because when he comes with his refreshing, he repeals judgment and he restores losses. Repealing judgment means that he reverses the consequences of my sin. Do you know there's a strain of thought out there in the Christian world that when we repent of our sins, we're forgiven, but God leaves us to forever bear the consequences of our sin? I remember hearing a sermon years ago as a young man. A guy was preaching about furrows. He said when a farmer plows a field, it leaves furrows in the field, and the furrows, they remain there in the field. And he said when we sin, we plow furrows into our heart and into our mind and into our spirit. And even if we ask God to forgive us, he forgives us, but the furrows still remain there. I guess I understand that line of thinking to some extent after a lot of years pastoring. To be sure, the law of sowing and reaping is true, and it really works if you wonder. But there's one thing to add to that. Jesus didn't die for the forgiveness of our sins alone. He died for our forgiveness, but he died for more than our forgiveness. He died to break the power of sin and to release us from the grip of sin, and he died to undo the consequences of sin. Jeremiah the prophet talks about this. Jeremiah said, in Jeremiah, God says, my people, it says, their sin has been etched on the tablet of their heart. With the sin that they've committed, he says they have written on the tablet of their heart. And what is written in stone. How many of you know what's written in stone is written in stone? What's written in stone can't be erased with the delete key. What's written in stone cannot be whited out. What's written in stone is there forever. And God says, my people, with their sin, he says, they have etched in the tablet of their heart their sin. It's been written there in stone. It's there forever. But God says, I'm not going to leave it there forever. God says, in Jesus, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to take away that old heart of stone with all those bad things that are written on it. And he said, in Jesus, I'm going to give them a new heart of flesh with better things written on it. Beloved, listen to me. The promise of God in his season of refreshing is that he comes to undo the damage that our past sins have done to our bodies, to our minds, to our emotions, to our relationships, to our finances, and to our future prospects. Beloved, I believe that God wants to come and visit us early in this year, and he wants to repeal judgment and restore losses. I believe that God wants to undo the consequences of sin in our bodies. I believe God wants to reverse lung cancer and breathing problems, throat cancer. I believe God wants to reverse blood-borne diseases. I believe he wants to reverse the loss of cognitive abilities. I believe he wants to reverse damaged and diseased organs, damaged livers, kidneys, hearts, arteries. I believe God wants to come and reverse diabetes and undo what sin has done to you. God wants to reverse your diagnosis. Do you know what your diagnosis is? Your diagnosis is now God's prescription for a miracle. Here's what the Lord told me. You already know I'm crazy, so I know you won't think I'm any more crazy, but here's what the Lord told me. We're going to have a diagnosis and prescription night one of these Wednesdays in January. You know what I'm going to ask you to do? I'm going to ask you to bring your diagnosis. I'm going to ask you to bring your medical records. I'm going to ask you to bring your prescriptions. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to gather together at this altar and we're going to worship the Lord and we're going to lift those things up and we're going to lay our hands on them and we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to change his mind and to reverse the consequences. Repealing his judgment means he will heal broken relationships in our lives. Repealing his judgment means he will restore lost resources. God says, because of your sin, I sent my locusts to devour your provision, but now I've changed my mind. And he said, I'm sending you blessing in place of those losses. When God repeals judgment, he restores what has been lost through our foolishness, even in the area of provision. Beloved, listen to me. I speak prophetically over you in the name of Jesus. Accounts receivable that you have written off a long time ago are going to be paid back to you in this season. Money that is owed to you that you wrote off is coming back to you. Clients that you lost are coming back to you. Overdue increases, commissions, bonuses are going to be paid to you. Property, listen to this. This is a good one. Property you lost is going to be replaced with better property in this season. Debts you owe are going to be reduced or canceled. Interest is going to be lowered. Penalties are going to be reduced or canceled. Settlements, inheritances are coming to you. Gifts are going to be given to you. You are going to sell things for a higher profit than you thought you could, and you're going to buy things for lower costs than you thought you would, and God is going to visit us and restore losses. We're not only going to have a diagnosis and prescription night, but we're going to have a provision night one of these Wednesdays in January. And I'm going to ask you to bring with you statements. I'm going to ask you to bring with you documents in an envelope, and we're going to put them here on this altar, and we're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to ask God to restore losses for his people. What does God want to do among us in 2010? He wants, number four, to remove our shame. Number four, he wants to remove our shame. Twice in Joel, God repeats again. He says, when this season of refreshing comes, he says, never again will my people be ashamed. Never again will my people be ashamed. Beloved, God wants to come and visit us early, and he wants to take away some stains that sin has left behind in our lives, and he wants to remove some shame off of us. Beloved, listen to me. There is no sin so terrible that God cannot forgive it and remove your shame. The people that Peter was speaking to in Acts 3, they were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. Jesus said to them, "You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though Pilate had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and you asked that a murderer be released to you instead." He says here in these verses in Acts 3, he says, "You killed the author of life." They were guilty of crucifying. The ones he was speaking to in the temple courts were the same ones that stood in the court shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." They were guilty of that sin. And yet Peter said to them, he said, "If you repent and turn to God, even this sin will be blotted out." Beloved, look at me. If God could forgive us all for sending Jesus to the cross, then he can forgive us of anything. There is no stain his blood cannot wash away. If you've been unfaithful, God can remove that stain and he can remove the shame. If you've been impure, God can remove that stain out of your life and he can remove the shame. If you've been dishonest, God can remove that stain and he can remove the shame. If you've been hateful or vengeful or violent, God can remove that stain and he can remove the shame. If you've been abusive, God can remove that stain and he can remove the shame. If you've abused substances, God can remove that stain and he can remove the shame. If you've been blasphemous, God can remove that stain and he can remove the shame. Beloved, listen to me. There is nothing beyond the ability of his blood to cleanse. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away each stain. God wants to come in 2010 and he wants to remove shame from off of us. To know as long as we're walking in shame, we can never receive the fullness of what God has for us. David wrote this. He said, "You are my glory and the lifter of my head." And God wants to come and visit us with his presence and his anointing and refresh us so that we can walk with our head held high. We can walk with our face lifted up to God and to men with no more shame. What does God want to do among us? Number five, God wants to give revelation. He wants to give revelation. God says when this spirit of refreshing comes in Jesus, he says, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see vision. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit." Beloved, God wants to come early in 2010 and he wants to visit us and he wants to give revelation. God wants to give a release of a prophetic spirit, the release of prophetic words. He wants to give dreams and visions to his people in the night hour. God wants to send angelic visitations. God wants to minister to us through revelatory gifts of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. And listen, God wants to come to give revelation to us in the form of supernatural creativity. Listen to me. God wants to come and he wants to give revelation that results in the production of things that the world has never seen before. I prophesy to you in Jesus' name, out of this congregation are going to come things the world has never seen before. Books and music and pieces of art. There are inventions that are coming. There are scientific breakthroughs that are coming. There are medical breakthroughs that are going to be a blessing to the world that are going to come through this congregation because God is pouring out his spirit in a spirit of revelation and supernatural creativity. Why not have the next Bill Gates come from Harvest Time Church? How about the next Steve Jobs? Why can't he come from Harvest Time Church? How about the next Madame Curie? How about the next person that comes through with a blessing that blesses the entire world? Why not here? God's going to come and visit us with an entrepreneurial spirit and give ideas and give the unction to create and develop new things. He wants to come and give revelation, not at the end of 2010, not in the middle of 2010, but in the beginning of 2010. Receive the word of the Lord. What does God want to do among us? Number six. What does God want to do among us? Number six, he wants to release signs, wonders, and miracles. God says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. I believe God wants to draw near to us, and God wants to give miracles of healing. God wants to do wondrous things in our midst. God wants to demonstrate to Greenwich, Connecticut, and Fairfield County, and Westchester County, and Putnam County, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he is still the rescuer, that he's still the savior, he's still the deliverer, and he is still the healer of men. God wants to come and release signs, wonders, and miracles. Number seven, what does God want to do in our midst in 2010? Number seven, he wants to ripen the atmosphere for harvest. He wants to ripen the atmosphere for harvest. In this season of refreshing, Joel says, the atmosphere will be such that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Beloved, I believe God wants to come and visit us with his presence in such a way that the atmosphere inside this church, and more importantly, the atmosphere over this community and over this region, is changed from one that is resistant to the gospel of Jesus Christ to one that is receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants to do something. He wants to ripen the atmosphere so that when people reach out their hand for him, when they call on his name, they find him and they're saved. We've had several prophetic words over us about our growth. By the way, I don't know what was happening with communion today, but I was getting nervous that I was going to have to pray and multiply some bread and some juice here. We're going to have to start filling more trays, I guess. We've had words about our growth. One of the words that we've received several times and we've received again recently is that God is getting ready to send prodigals to us. Prodigals from this house, prodigals from our families, prodigals from the family of faith, from the household of God, people who once walked with him who have fallen away. God was going to send prodigals in. Another word that I received recently about our growth, my friend from Gateway Church, Brian Simmons, is going to be here next week in our services Saturday and Sunday ministering the word of the Lord. And I was with Brian a couple of months ago, and he said to me, Glenn, he said, I feel that the Holy Spirit has said that harvest time is going to triple in size over the next 18 months. I believe that God is coming to visit us to ripen the atmosphere for the harvest. Seven things that God wants to do among us in 2010. How many people want to see these things happen? How many of you want to see these things happen? Here's the really exciting thing. If you want to see these things happen, the key is already in your hand. The key is already in our hand. It's not like we have to wait for God to get ready to do these things. God is already ready. He's already made everything ready. God has already done everything that he can do. Now the key is in our hand. And in Acts 3:19, Peter gives us the key. So, beloved, since we already are holding the key, let's not wait. Let's turn the key in January. Let's start this morning, this week. Let's start together on Wednesday nights in January, and let's turn this key. Here's what the key is. Number one, the key is to repent. The key is to repent. Repent and turn to God, he said, so your sins might be blotted out and seasons of refreshing might come to you. Repent means to have a change of mind. To repent is to have a change of heart about something. In fact, repentance is a change of heart that results in a change of direction. And early in this new year, early in 2010, let's seek God's face and let's ask him if there's anything in our life that we need to have a change of mind about, that we need to have a change of heart about, if there's anything that we need to change direction on. Let's start early in this new year and let's rethink some of the things on the surface of our lives. Beloved, I want to challenge you at the start of this new year. I want to challenge you to sit down and to take stock of some situations in your life. I want you to evaluate some things, to think them all the way through to their logical conclusions. I want you to ask the question, if I keep going on my present course, where is it going to lead me? If I keep going in this direction, where is it going to end? Pastor Nick practiced law for 15 years before he joined me on church staff here, and he still has a little bit of lawyer left in him. So every once in a while, he went from practicing law to practicing grace, but every once in a while, there's a little lawyer left in him, and he has a little saying. When he sees somebody doing something really stupid, he says, "This can only end badly." Like when he sees Faith standing on top of her swivel chair, reaching for a ream of paper on the top shelf for the copier. He says, "This can only end badly." Or he sees two kids skateboarding in the parking lot with hundreds of cars trying to get, "This can only end badly." My daughter Lauren is 5. My son Ben is about to turn 8 in 2 days. And Ben is literally twice her size and weight. And every once in a while, my daughter Lauren gets a little bit of her mother in her and she picks a fight with Ben. And I say to her, "Lolly, you're the only service who got that. Saturday night didn't get it. First didn't get it. Second." My wife was in second. She didn't get it. "You got it. Don't tell her." Every once in a while, Lolly gets something in her and she picks a fight with Ben. And I say to her, "Lolly, this can only end badly. There's only one way this can end, with you crying on the floor." Beloved, listen, some of us are messing with some stuff in our lives. And it's an 800-pound gorilla. And the only way it can end is badly. And it's time for us to let ourselves be confronted by the truth of the Word of God and have a change of mind and a change of heart that results in a change of direction. Let's rethink some things on the surface of our lives. Those things on the surface of our lives are the things we really already are aware are in trouble and need to be fixed. A second thing we need to do in the area of repentance is we need to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to dig a little deeper. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to come and dig a little bit deeper. The people that Peter was speaking to in Acts 3, they didn't even know that they had a problem. That they didn't even know that they had committed a sin that was blocking all this refreshing, all these things God wanted to do. That they didn't know that there was something in the way blocking them from receiving it. And so it was through the anointed preaching of Peter that the Holy Spirit revealed to them what the problem was. He said, "You crucified the author of life. You disowned him. You handed him over." But he says, "If you will turn," now that it's been revealed, he says, "You did it in your ignorance, as did your leaders. They didn't know." But he said, "If you'll turn, then it will open the way for the season of refreshing to come." And beloved, a second thing we need to do in the area of repentance is to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to show us any area in our life that is perhaps blocking the refreshing he wants to send our way. David prayed that prayer in Psalm 139. He said, "Search me, O God. Know my heart, test my thoughts, examine my ways, see if there be any wicked thing in me, and lead me in the paths of life everlasting." Oh, God is texting us right now, all right? Listen to me, beloved. We're going to have a diagnosis and prescription night one Wednesday. We're going to have a provision night one Wednesday. But you know, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to have a lay it down on the altar night. You know, I got saved in an era when the Holy Spirit was moving in an extraordinary way in his church. And people used to bring things and lay them down. They used to bring things and just let go of them. People used to bring cigarettes. People used to bring bottles of alcohol. We had one guy who had been in a lot of trouble in his life and had a lot of guns, and he brought them one day and laid them on the altar. We all prayed hard that day. We prayed that he didn't backslide before he got out of the back door of the church. We had one man who had a pornography problem, and he said, "Pastor, I need to get these things out of my life and out of my house. Can I bring them to you?" And he brought his car. He had an enormous Lincoln, and the entire trunk was filled with pornographic magazines. My pastor had to take them to the town dump and tell the guy, "These aren't mine." people used to bring stuff and lay it down. And I want to ask you, in all seriousness, I want to ask you, would you take stock? Would you evaluate? Would you invite the Holy Spirit to come and to search you? And if there's something that he's asking you to lay down, would you lay it down and let go of it so that his refreshing can come to you? How do I turn the key and open this season of refreshing? Number one, I repent. Number two, I turn to God. Repenting means turning away from some things. That's the negative side of repentance. But there's a much better side of repentance. Repentance means to turn to God. And when we turn away from things in our lives that are unfruitful, when we turn away from things in our lives that are not pleasing to him, that are unproductive, when we turn to him, we're turning to something that is infinitely better. And when we turn to something that is infinitely better, what we have turned away from pales in comparison. It just doesn't mean that much to us anymore. Remember when we moved in here in February, it was the first Sunday of February 2004 when we moved into this building. We had been in that crummy old Civic Center for 20 years. And I remember when we moved into this building, moved our offices over and started having worship services in here. I remember that same week driving by the Civic Center, and it was the oddest feeling. There was no feeling of attachment whatsoever to that old building. It was like we had never even been there. We were there 20 years, and it was like I had never even been inside, because when we left that place, what we turned to was so much infinitely better. It was so much more beautiful. It was so much more comfortable and accommodating that what we had turned away from was fast forgotten. And any of you that ever sat through one of my sermons on a hard metal chair knows what I'm talking about. And all God's people said, amen. And beloved, that's the way it is with repentance. We turn away from some things, but listen, when we turn to him, when we turn to his face, when we turn to his grace, when we turn to his forgiveness, when we turn to his mercy, when we turn to his favor, when we turn to his presence and his blessings, it is so much infinitely better that what we've turned away from is fast forgotten. Beloved, I want to invite you to join with me early in this new year in turning to God together. Let's turn to his presence. Let's turn to his presence in prayer. Let's turn to his presence in worship. Let's turn to his presence in the word. Let's turn to his presence in fellowship. I want to ask you to join me in turning away from whatever it is God asks us to turn away from and turning to his face together. There are so many opportunities. There's prayer meetings here every morning at 6 o'clock. There are different prayer groups that meet throughout the week at different times of day. There's soaking service on Friday evening, on Wednesday nights, beginning next Wednesday. We're going to be together every Wednesday worshiping and seeking his face. And I want to invite you to come and join with me in turning to him. Let's turn to him in fasting. I want to invite you. I'm setting a window of fasting beginning next Monday, is the 11th of January. And next Monday, from the 11th of January to the 19th of February, I'm setting a 40-day window of fasting. During that entire time, we're going to be meeting on Wednesday nights together. And this is what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to prayerfully consider fasting a day, or fasting 2 or 3 days as the Holy Spirit leads you, or perhaps fasting 1 day a week, maybe on Wednesdays before we come together to seek the Lord's face. I want to ask you to join me in some expression of fasting. There are many different ways to fast. Some people aren't medically able to skip meals for several consecutive days or consecutive meals. And if that's you, there are many different ways to express fasting. There's a Daniel fast. You can fast on fruits and vegetables. You can skip a meal. You can skip 2 meals a day, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you. But I want to invite you to join with me in turning to him and seeking his face and joining me in prayer and in fasting and asking God to send his seasons of refreshing. Here's the results. Here's what happens. When we repent and we turn to him, Acts 2:19 says that our sins are blotted out. That means three things. the guilt of sin is removed, the consequences of sin are removed, and the power of sin over us is removed. If you want to know, if you've been struggling and you want to get free from the grip of sin in your life, that's how you do it. You repent and you turn to God, and He gives grace and He gives power to overcome sin. Our sins are blotted out, and the result of our sins being blotted out is that refreshing can come to us. Beloved, I want to invite you to join with me. I believe that God is ready and willing and desiring to send us a season of refreshing, and the key is in my hand and in your hand. Come and stand together with me. Pastor Dan, come and help us, and we're going to pray just before we leave today. Thank you, Jesus. I want to sing that old chorus we used to sing a long time ago. It's so old it predates Pastor Dan's lifetime. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Come on, if you remember that, I want you to sing it along with me this morning. Let's sing. Sing that again with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strange. Would you bow your heads with me all over this place? Just before we pray and we go today, I can't leave without making this invitation from the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord in Acts 3:19 is, it's not too late. It's not too late. If you've blown it, if you've made mistakes, if you've sinned, it's not too late. It's not too late to reach out to Him. It's not too late to call on His name. It's not too late to receive Him. If you've blown Him off before, if you've blown Him off in the past, it is not too late now. It's not too late to receive Him and to receive refreshing, the removal of shame, repeal of judgment, the restoration of losses in your life. It is not too late. Just before we go, while heads are bowed, I'm wondering if there's someone here and you'd like to make that first step today. The first step today is asking Jesus Christ into your heart. The first step is asking Him to forgive you of your sins, to wash you by His blood, inviting Him to come be your Lord and the leader of your life. And I'm wondering if there's someone here, just before we go, if there's someone here, you've never done that and you want to take that first step today. While heads are bowed, I want to ask you, just reach out to the Lord right now. Lift your hand and reach out to Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, just lift your hand. You want to reach out to Him right now. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody else, you want to take that first step today. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I want to ask everybody, would you all join me? Would you all lift your hands together? And I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and we're going to help some people take the first step today. I'm going to pray, and I want to ask everybody to help us out and support us, and just repeat as I pray. Lift your hands to the Lord, and let's take the first step today. Let's pray. Father, Thank you that you loved me. Thank you that you gave Jesus. Father, thank you for the cross. Jesus, I reach out to you now. Jesus, forgive me from my sins. Wash me with your blood. Cleanse me. Reverse the consequences of sin. Break the power of sin. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I ask you to be my Savior and the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big worship, a big praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Everybody look at me for 1 minute. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, God is about to do a quick work in your life, a quick work. He said old things. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away and everything has become new. And you're going to see an immediate change in your life because you reached out to him today. Come on, sing that song with me one more time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
I want to ask you to just lift your hands all over this place. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that a season of refreshing would come upon the people of God. Father, the appointed season that you send us in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd refresh us. I pray that you'd refresh us personally, refresh us in our spirits, in our minds, in our body, in our emotions, Lord. Refresh us, replenish resources, Lord God. Replenish provision. Lord, I pray you'd repeal judgment, restore losses, remove shame. God, I pray you'd release revelation. I pray that you'd release signs and wonders. I pray, God, that you'd ripen the atmosphere around us. Lord, I pray that you'd send refreshing on your church in Jesus' name. Now I want to invite you to just pray with me. It's up to you. It's your choice. But I want to invite you to pray with me the prayer of David, just inviting the Holy Spirit to search us and to show us if there's anything in 2010 that he wants us to turn away from and to turn to him. If you want to pray that with me, you don't have to, but if you want to pray that with me, would you put your hand over your heart and let's just pray together in the words of David. I'm going to lead and you follow. Pray with me. Put your hand over your heart. Let's pray. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Father, in Jesus' name, if there's any attitude in my heart, if there's any treasure in my heart that's above you, if there's any idol in my heart that's in your place, show me in Jesus' name. Take your hand and just put it on your forehead if you would, please. And let's pray again in the words of David. Search me, O God. Know my heart and test my thoughts. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there are any thoughts that are not pleasing to you, that are unproductive, Father, if I've been dwelling on the wrong things, Father, if I've been feeding my mind the wrong things, show me and help me to have a change of mind. Now lift your hands and just lift them before the Lord. And let's pray once more in the words of David. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test my thoughts. Examine my ways. Father, in Jesus' name, if there are actions in my life, if there are patterns of behavior that are unpleasing to you and unfruitful, show me in Jesus' name. Give me grace to have a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of behavior. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give him a big praise one more time in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sing it just once more.